Translation, my name, Advaita, will be befitting if I am able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the holy name. Please repeat. My name, Advaita, will be fitting if I am able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the holy name. Purport. The non-dualist Mayavadi philosopher who falsely believes that he is non-different from the Lord is unable to call him like Advaita Prabhu. Advaita Prabhu is non-different from the Lord, yet in his relationship with the Lord he does not merge with him, but eternally renders service unto him as a plenary portion. This is inconceivable for Mayavadis because they think in terms of mundane sense perception, and therefore think that non-dualism necessitates losing one's separate identity. It is clear from this verse, however, that Advaita Prabhu, although retaining his separate identity, is non-different from the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached the philosophy of inconceivable simultaneous oneness with the Lord and difference from him. Conceivable dualism and monism are conceptions of the imperfect senses, which are unable to reach the transcendence because the transcendence is beyond the conception of limited potency. The actions of Sri Advaita Prabhu, however, give tangible proof of inconceivable non-dualism. One who therefore surrenders unto Sri Advaita Prabhu can easily follow the philosophy of inconceivable simultaneous dualism and monism. So I'm going to give a very quick comment on this verse, which wasn't the plan verse. The plan verse was in chapter 6, and I'll go to that afterwards. And I'm not the plan speaker either, so we're not getting off to a good start here, but hopefully we'll try and say something relevant. So, I love Prabhupada, such a genius. He takes this verse where Advaita Prabhu is calling the Lord, and he turns the purport into a defeat of monism, of Mayavadism. This is very clever because the point he's making is you have God in the form of Advaitacharya calling out to God in the form of Krishna. So therefore you have two identities. And if there was only one, everything was one, then this would be a meaningless pursuit. Therefore, this establishes how they are different. But the term Advaita means non-dual. So we have non-dual in the very term Advaita, and also the fact that there are two personalities of Godhead communicating with each other. So we have dualism and non-dualism at the same time. Therefore, this is Achintya-bheda-bheda-tattva, right? As it says in the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanti tat tattva vedas tattvam yajgyanam advayam Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti Shabjati. There are three phases of the Supreme, Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and they are Advaya, non-dual, you see. So we have three, but yet they are one. Yada dvaitam brahmapanishadi tadapyasa tanaba. The non-dual substance, which the Upanishads call Brahma, is none other than the effulgence of the Lord. So now we go to chapter 5. The glories of Lord Nityananda. Text 102. Tangranabi padma hoiti utala eka padma se padme haila brahmara janma sadma. From his navel grew a lotus flower which became the birthplace of Lord Brahma. Se padmanali haila chaudu bhuvana tenho brahma anasristi korila srijana. Within the stem of that lotus were the 14 worlds. Thus the Supreme Lord, as Brahma, created the entire creation. Vishnu rupahanna kori jagat palane gunatita Vishnu sparsha nahi maya gune. And as Lord Vishnu, he maintains the entire world. Lord Vishnu, being beyond all material attributes, has no touch with the material qualities. Purport. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana says that although Vishnu is the predominating deity of the quality of goodness in the material world, He is never affected by the quality of goodness, for he directs that quality simply by his supreme will. It is said that all living entities can derive all good fortune from the Lord simply by his will. In the Vamana Purana, it is said that the same Vishnu expands himself as Brahma and Shiva to direct the different qualities. Because Lord Vishnu expands the quality of goodness, he has the name Sattvata Tanu. The multifarious incarnations of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu are known as Sattva Tanu. Therefore, in all Vedic scriptures, Vishnu has been described as being free from all material qualities. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Harir hi nirguna shakshat purusha prakritih para sasarva drig upadrashta tang bhajan nirguno bhavet. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is always uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, for he is beyond the material manifestation. He is the source of the knowledge of all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, and he is the witness of everything. Therefore, one who worships the Supreme Lord Vishnu also attains freedom from contamination of material nature. That's 10th canto, chapter 88, text number 5. One can attain freedom from the contamination of material nature by worshipping Vishnu, and therefore he is called Sattva Tanu, as described above. Om Agyanatam Randasya Ginanjana Shalakya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadatikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindu Bibacha Pridhanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Giradhar Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, happy Christmas to you all. I think I gave class last Christmas as well, on Christmas Day. But on that occasion I had advanced warning, so I had something prepared, but not today. But I was thinking in terms of, there was a Prabhupada lecture I listened to recently, and he was discussing this famous verse from the Brihannaradiya Purana, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam, Kalaunya Stevena, Stevena, Steva Gatiranyata. In Kali Yuga, there's no other process of deliverance than the chanting of the holy names. And in his discussion about this verse, he says, and it does not need to be the names that we chant. If you have other names, you chant those names. If you don't have other names, then you take our names. So he's given a very broad meaning of the Yuga Dharma. In other words, if you are a Christian or a Muslim, or in some places he even tells one of the hippies, okay, if you want to be a Buddhist, be a Buddhist, but be a proper Buddhist. Just do something, he said. He even allowed for that possibility. So the point is, according to this particular lecture, we can say that the Yuga Dharma is something that all religions can practice, and they don't need to become Hare Krishnas to practice the Yuga Dharma. Even though the word Hari is in the verse, Hari Nam. So we should be careful we don't be too cultish. We should understand glorification of the Lord in a broad sense. And in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that he describes religion and he describes pure religion. And when he describes pure religion, he says, this pure religion can exist in any culture. It can be expressed in any language. The point is, if we have pure religion, what is pure religion? It is Dharma Prajita Kaitavotra Paramoni Matsaranam Tatam Vejam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivatam Tapatrayon Mulinam. It means to go for to the Vastava. Vastava means the really existing things. This is interesting. This is the second verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The term is Vastava Vastu. So Vastu means things. But everything is a thing. Material world is Vastu. Spiritual world is Vastu. But the difference is, The spiritual world is the vastava vastu. It's the really existing vastu. Whereas the material world is the avastava vastu. It is the non-existing substance. Therefore, when it says vejam vastava atra vastu shivadam, what Srila Vyasadeva is saying is that this Srimad Bhagavatam is only going to discuss the vastava vastu, the really existing things. In other words, it's going to kick out everything that is materialistic. So as we know in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunyo Vishaya Veda, Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, the Vedas deal mainly with Triguna, the modes of material nature. So that is avastava. It is not real. It is temporary. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is vastava vastu. Everything is pure, spiritual, and beyond any form of cheating. And the highest form of cheating is prashabde, moksha-vansha, kaitavo-pradhan. By the term pra-ujita, this is found in the Anchalila, I believe. By the term pra-ujita, ujita means to give up. Pra-ujita means to give up everything. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki, Shishi Siddha Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gonitai ki jai. So this second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam has the term projita, which is broken down into pra-ujita. Ujita means to give up. And pra-shabdi, moksha-vansha, kaitava-pradhan. By the term pra, we mean that it gives up. We give up even the desire for liberation. That is the highest form of cheating. It is kaitava-pradhan. Because it is very, very difficult to give up. And it looks very, very pure. If someone's is endeavoring for salvation, then we think, wow, what a saintly person. But actually, from the Vedic perspective, salvation and bondage do not even exist. They are compared to night and day for the sun. Is there night and day for the sun? Of course not. You see, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes this point that prayojana, the goal of a living entity, is not liberation. Because the majority of living entities aren't even in this material world. So they're not even bound in the first place. So how can they be liberated? Their goal be liberation when they're not even bound in the first place? Therefore, bondage and liberation, they are simply aspects of duality. So there's one statement in the 11th canto that, is it, guna, dosha, drishi, dosha. That to see in terms of good and bad is itself a fault. Now, in order to get out of this material world, we analyze the modes. Today's verse, chapter purport, is talking about the modes of material nature. We analyze the modes and we perform activities that will bring us to the mode of goodness. It is very analytic. So we are constantly making the discrimination between guna and dosha. This is good, that is bad. This is dharma, that is adharma. But on a higher platform, which the Srimad Bhagavatam discusses, that itself is a fault. Therefore, for the pure devotee, sarvatra, what's the word? Everywhere the pure devotee sees Ishtadeva Spurti. Who knows the verse? Stavara jangama deki na deki taramurte, sarvatra hoya nija Ishtadeva Spurti. The pure devotee sees every living and non-living entity. Not in terms of their outward appearance, but in terms of Ishtadeva Spurti, he sees his actual beloved Lord within the hearts of every being and within every atom. So this is the non-dual vision of the Uttama Adhikari, that is the highest platform. Therefore, to consider bondage and liberation is itself a symptom of being in bondage already, being bound up. So Vishnu, here is this, in this verse, which is not on the board, but it's here, Gunatita Vishnu. Vishnu is described as Gunatita, which means, you can see what that means. What does Gunatita mean? I think most of you know, but no one wants to speak up. Shall we ask a Bengali person, Shachimata? What does Gunatita mean? Okay, Atita means beyond, right? Above, transcendental. So Gunatita Vishnu is beyond the modes of material nature. So there's a connected verse, similar verse, also found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shiva Maya Shakti Sangi Tamagunavesh Maya Tita Gunatita Vishnu Paramesh. That Lord Shiva, because he is connected to the illusory energy through marriage, sometimes comes under the influence of Tamagun. He's Tamaguna Vish. Whereas Vishnu is Maya Titta and Guna Titta. He's above the illusory energy. He's above the modes of material nature. Therefore, Vishnu Paramesh. Therefore, Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. So today's verse is establishing this point that Vishnu is above the demigods. And it's also said in the first canto, Narayana Kala Shanta Bhajanti Hyanasu Yavaha. Those who are free from envy, they worship the incarnations of Lord Narayan. Narayana Kala. So Kala means a portion or a portion of a portion. So from Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, so many incarnations come, and they are worshipped by the devotees who are Anasuyava. They are free from envy, just like the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nirmatsaratam Satam Vejam, that this knowledge is knowable to those who are Nirmatsara, who are free from envy. So it's interesting how Lord Shiva, although he's a Mahabhagavat, he's sometimes Tamaguna Vesh, he comes under the mode of ignorance. And Prabhupada comments on this. He says, at such times, Lord Shiva is to be considered a product of material nature. And at other times, he is to be considered a Mahabhagavat. So he's a very mysterious tattva, Lord Shiva. He's a Mahabhagavat that sometimes comes under the mode of ignorance due to his service, because he is the Lord of the mode of ignorance. Now Vishnu, he's the Lord of the mode of goodness. Therefore, as it's mentioned three times in the sloka, in the purport, Sattva Tanu. He's known as Sattva Tanu, means his body is goodness. But it's not mundane goodness. It's Vishuddha Sattva. Vishnu is, as mentioned in the verse, he is Gunatitta. If he was mundane Sattva, then he wouldn't be called Gunatitta. But because he is Gunatitta, because he's above the modes of nature, nature altogether, then although he is the Lord of the mode of goodness, he is not at all affected by the mode of goodness. Unlike Lord Shiva, who being the Lord of the mode of ignorance, is affected by the mode of ignorance. So, it reminds me, you know, in scientists, sometimes they analyze a very toxic substance. So they have a kind of chamber with glass walls. Then they have two holes, and they put their hands in the holes, and their hands fit into gloves. Therefore, they can work on the object inside the chamber, but they're not connected at all with that object. So they don't have to breathe anything from the object. They don't have to directly touch the object with their skin. They're completely separate from the object, and yet at the same time, they're manipulating the object. So Lord Vishnu is a bit like that. Although he's responsible for this material creation, in the same way, he's not at all affected. Therefore, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nacha matstani bhutani. But I'm not inside this material creation. He says matstani sarva bhutani. I am within this material creation, and yet nacha matstani bhutani. I am not within. So what is the meaning of this contradiction? It means that although he's within material nature, he is not at all affected. He's completely aloof. And actually, although he's within every atom, and antarastam paramano chantarastam, although he's within every atom, at the same time, the whole universes are all emanating from his body. And Lord Brahma, when he's glorifying Lord Krishna, he uses the term, I forget the term, but he compares the universes to atoms. Paracharya. They're little atoms that are coming from the body of the Lord. So it's a very nice comparison, because who would compare a universe which is vast to an atom? There's a contradiction. But from the vision of Lord Vishnu, who has so many microscopic little universes emanating from the millions of pores of his body, then for him, universes are exactly like atoms. And therefore, Lord Brahma was very much humbled when he tried to steal the calves and the cowherd boys. And then Krishna, by his superior mystic potency, he made Lord Brahma into the fool. Lord Brahma was trying to do an experiment on Krishna, but he ended up the fool. So for Lord Brahma, he's making the point that he is inside one of those universes, In other words, he is like a microscopic, insignificant creature inside a universe which is like an atom from the vision of Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu is the supreme, and he's Sattva Tanu, or he is goodness. We were talking about Lord Shiva. In the fifth canto, Lord Shiva, he says, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Now this Vishuddha Sattva platform is also referred to as the Vasudev platform. So we should understand clearly the distinction between Sattva and Vishuddha Sattva. So there are two aspects to this, at least. One is this, that mundane sattva is never permanent. The modes are always oscillating, they're moving. Therefore, you cannot get pure mundane goodness. It's always a little tinge of rajas and tamas. Whereas with Vishuddha sattva, there is no tinge at all. So that is one aspect. But then one may ask the question, well, what if we were to separate goodness? Would that then be pure goodness? Well, I don't think so, because in the Bhagavad Gita it says one who is in the mode of goodness is bound by knowledge and by happiness. So that knowledge is referring to material knowledge, and the happiness is referring to material happiness. So even unadulterated, pure mundane goodness, if you could isolate it, would still not be Vishuddha Sattva, because it would still be materialistic. And we don't want to be bound by jnana, we don't want to be bound by material happiness, neither of these things. So let's go to the next part of the purport. So Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse from the 88th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Harer hi nirguna shakshad purusha prakritih para sasarva drig upadrashta tam bhajan nirguno bhavet. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is always uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, for he is beyond the material manifestation. He is the source of the knowledge of all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, and he is the witness of everything. Therefore, one who worships the Supreme Lord Vishnu also attains freedom from the contamination of material nature. So this verse is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the beginning of chapter 88, Parikshit Maharaj, he asked the question, why is it that the followers of Lord Shiva and the demigods, they tend to be very opulent, and whereas the followers of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu tend to be very poor? It should be the other way around, because Vishnu is the husband of the goddess of fortune. So all fortune should be with the devotees, not with the demigods. Lord Shiva, he lives under a tree. He's a renunciate. Therefore, his followers should likewise be poverty-stricken. So this is back to front. So in response, well, actually, Parikshit Maharaj asks it to Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami then relates how the same question was asked by Yudhisthira Maharaj at the Ashwamedha Yajna. It's funny, every time I give class, I always end up talking about Yudhisthira Maharaj. The last time I was talking about the Rajasuya sacrifice and how Yudhisthira Maharaj had a conversation with Narad Muni. But today, Sukadeva Goswami relates the pastime to how Yudhisthira Maharaj at the Ashwamedha Yajna asks the same question to Lord Achyuta. So Lord Achyuta, he replies, and this is one of his statements. He also says, Yasya ham anugrihname harishi tad danam shanai tato danam chajanchasya svajana dukkadukitam. When I want to show special mercy to a living entity, I take everything away from that living entity. In that poverty-stricken condition, all his relatives reject him, and he is forced to take shelter of me. So this is the answer as to why the devotees of the Lord are poor. They're often wretched. Very recently, one devotee just died of tuberculosis, which is a very curable disease. He was living in Mayapur. And apparently he asked for help, and no one gave him help. He could have been flown over to the West and given treatment. Anyway, he died of tuberculosis. So the devotees of the Lord, they tend to live in very humble circumstances. They're often very poor. many of them often have ailments as well, bodily ailments. But we should not consider those to be faults. To do so is very detrimental to our devotional service, as explained in the Nectar of Instruction. But what we should understand is that the faults are simply superficial, and they do not relate to the internal mood and identity of the devotee. In fact, some faults continue to exist in the spiritual world, surprisingly enough. One example is given is one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, Bhagavan Acharya, who had a limp. So back to Siddhanta Sarasvati explains that he also has a limp in the spiritual world. It's not that his body is, it's not that he has another form where he can run very fast and jump around and all sorts of things. He's limping in the spiritual world as well. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati also explains that the apparent faults you may see in the Acharya, they exist in the spiritual world as well. The Acharyas have similar forms in, or the same form in the spiritual world as well, surprisingly enough. And if you don't believe me, read Bhaktivikasa Swami's book, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, and that's where I found it. This explanation of how Acharyas may have bodily faults in the spiritual world and eternal associates of the Lord may also have limps and things like that. It's interesting. It's not what we think. Anyway, so going back to this point, that this is the mercy of the Lord, that although he can give so much wealth, although he is the husband of the goddess of fortune, still he takes it all away and he gives something else that's higher. We have the example of Dhruva Maharaj, who approached the Lord. His purpose was to become wealthy, but then when he attained the Lord, he realized, I was looking for broken glass, but I found a diamond. The very desire, that his very motivation, was taken away by the Lord. And that is one of the beautiful qualities of the Lord, and I think it's termed Icha Pidanam, but there's a verse in the fifth canto that describes how the Lord fulfills the desires of those who worship him in such a way that he takes away the desire. So that is a higher thing, you see. So if you approach the Lord for wealth, then he will satisfy your desire in such a way that you will no longer want it. Therefore, akama sarvakamava moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogina yajeta purusham param. Whether one has no desires, all desires, or desires liberation, in all circumstances one should simply worship the Lord. So you can encourage people, if they are materialistic and they like to worship the demigods, you can say, worship Krishna. And you don't need to say to them, if you worship Krishna, you won't be wealthy. You can let them think that they're going to be wealthy. That doesn't matter. The point is, they will attain their desire in such a way that they will be free from that desire. So that is a higher thing. That is why people are afraid to worship Krishna, because they understand that they won't get what they want. But actually they will get what they want, but they're thinking they won't get what they want. They're thinking that they will end up poor, but what they do not understand is they will end up poor and a pure devotee of the Lord. So what is the qualification of the pure devotee of the Lord? Vishrijati ridayam yayasya shakshad hariya ravasha bihito pyagau ganash pranaya rasana pranaya dritangri padma sabbhavati bhagavat pradana uktaha. From the 11th canto, it's said that the topmost devotee is one who has captured Krishna within his heart with the ropes of love. Pranaya rasa, the ropes of love, even if he is not chanting properly. He may be chanting unconsciously or with bad pronunciation. Still, he has captured the Lord within his heart. Therefore, what greater wealth is there than that? So if you think that the Nishkinchana bhaktas, who have no possessions, are poverty-stricken, that is simply on the material vision. In reality, they have captured Krishna in their heart. Therefore, Prabhupada, when he talks about the Goswamis, who simply wore kopons and lived under a tree, he said they were the greatest enjoyers because they have the greatest wealth. They have Krishna within their heart. So those who worship the demigods, they have material vision. Kamas tais tairita gina prabhajante nya devataha. Their knowledge is stolen by illusion. and therefore they cannot understand the glory of the Niskanchana devotee. And Prahlad Maharaj says, if you want to obtain Krishna, you cannot do so unless you take the dust of the lotus feet of those devotees. What's the verse? Who knows that verse? You know the verse? Niskanchanam navarita yo. Mahiyasam pada rajobhishekam niskanchanam navarita tavat. As long as you have not smeared your body with the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotees of the Lord who possess nothing, then one cannot obtain Krishna. Matirna Krishna, it's not that word. Naisham matish tavad rukramangrim spasharchana narta pagamo yadartaha. Mahiyasam pada rajobhishekam niskanchanam navaranita yavat. One will never obtain the lotus feet of Krishna unless one takes the dust of Krishna's devotees. So we stop here, and I hope there's some questions. I can say something about Christmas in a minute, but maybe ask for questions in relation to today's class.